Good morning, and welcome to New Life Community Church. My name is Bob Foddy, and I'm a member of this church. And this morning, I'm filling in for Pastor David McAdam. So we welcome all of those who are sharing the service with us this morning and pray that you'll be blessed by the Word of God. I would like you to think for a moment about when you went to school, learning new things, interacting with classmates and friends, engaging in activities in the classroom, on the playground, in the art room, on the athletic field. Think about the many questions that teachers, counselors, coaches, and professors asked you. It's been estimated that every day, a classroom teacher asks his or her students 200 to 300 questions. Now, sometimes the questions require the students to recall information that they have learned in the classroom, or something they already know, how and why and what and when and where and who. What's the chemical formula for water? Why is the sky blue? When was the telephone invented? Where is Independence Hall located? How do airplanes fly? Who was Clara Barton? And sometimes a Sunday school teacher will ask similar questions with different content. What are the Ten Commandments? Why did Noah build an ark? When did Jesus and the two others walk to Emmaus? How did David slay Goliath? Where was Jesus born? But most importantly, who is Jesus Christ? Sometimes teachers ask questions that do not depend on simply recalling information. They require deeper thinking and careful reflection. And we see these questions, for example, in Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias," King James Version, "or Elijah. And others, Jeremias," or Jeremiah, "or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" This morning, we will see that Jesus asked a number of questions. In each of the Gospels are recorded dozens of questions in Matthew, dozens of questions in Mark, dozens of questions in Luke, dozens of questions in John. Sometimes the questions are what, when, where, why, how, and who. Jesus asked questions to a small group of people, his disciples. And sometimes he asked questions to larger groups, the multitudes, those that came to Jesus to hear his teaching. In Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 37, it reads, "And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." And the question, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In Matthew chapter 4, we read, "And there followed great multitudes of people from Galilee and Decapolis, from Jerusalem and from Judea and beyond the Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up into a mountain and sat down, and his disciples came unto him. And when Jesus sat down, that was a sign, a signal, that he was about to teach. The Jewish tradition in Jesus' day was when one read scriptures in the synagogue, the person would stand. But when the teaching started, the rabbi would sit down. And so we see in Luke chapter 4, Jesus comes to Nazareth, and where he had been brought up And as Luke writes, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister. And then Jesus sat down. And Luke writes, "The eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus." Why? Was it because he had read from Isaiah? Was it because he sat down? I think it was both. But mostly they knew when he sat down, the teaching would begin. And he begins by saying, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." We know on another occasion when a great crowd came near Jesus and there was a ship or boat right there. And it says in Matthew 13 that he went into the ship and sat. And the multitudes stood on the shore. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is that great teaching which we know is the Sermon on the Mount. And when the disciples sat around him, Jesus opens his mouth and teaches them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now, after Jesus pronounces these blessed beatitudes, these promises, these blessings, he begins to ask a series of questions around the word "what." "For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more do than others? Do not even the publicans so?" We move into chapter 6, where Jesus teaches about prayer and fasting, and he says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of, before you even ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power." As moreover, when ye fast, be not like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But in addition to teaching about prayer and fasting, again, Jesus asks questions. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body, what shall you put on. If not, is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Now that word better in the Greek is diaphero, which means more value. So if we look at the ESV version, it's a little bit clearer. It says, are you not more value than they? Which of you, by taking thought, says Jesus, can add one cubit unto his stature? Again, the Greek word for thought is anxiety, or to be troubled with cares. And right now we go through a time when people are troubled and anxious with cares. And the word helikeia, which is translated stature in the King James, means length of life. So again, if we look at the English Standard Version, it would read, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And Jesus continues asking questions. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Finally, as we get to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, Jesus declares, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And after sharing these wonderful declarations of faith, Jesus asks these questions. What man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew records at the end of chapter 7, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Jesus also asked why questions. He asked the multitudes many questions. Those that came to him to witness miracles, and those who came to him for healing. In Luke chapter 6, it says, a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And that word virtue, dunamis, means the power to perform miracles. Luke writes that as Jesus was finishing this particular teaching, he asks, and why? Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He declares, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and lay the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus didn't always ask questions to a large group. Sometimes he asked questions to an individual. An example, a young man running to Jesus with an important question and a sense of urgency. Luke records, and a certain ruler came to Jesus. Luke writes that this man was very rich. Matthew writes the man was young. Matthew and Mark both write that this man had questions. Therefore, we call him the rich young ruler. And Mark also writes this man came running to and kneeled to Jesus and asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Matthew phrases it this way, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Jesus asks a question. Rather than giving an answer, he asks a question. The question is, why? Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Sometimes Jesus would ask the question, where? He asked an individual, where? A woman accused and caught in adultery. John chapter 8, verses 3 through 12. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Let's see how Jesus responds to this. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And John writes, as though he heard them not. Of course, Jesus heard what they said, but he was not going to respond verbally in the way they expected. And so, John continues to write, so when they continued asking him, you talk about being dogged in persistence and determination. When they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Notice, we don't hear the scribes and the Pharisees asking anymore. Jesus' answer silenced them for a moment. And John continues, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And now the question. Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said to her, "Woman, where? Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And he said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And right after that, John records that Jesus again speaks to the Pharisees and says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Sometimes Jesus addressed a question to an individual, such as a man who had leprosy. This is on the journey to Jerusalem, which Luke records beginning in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, and continues all the way through chapter 19. So in Luke 17, starting at verse 11, it reads, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off." Sort of the social distancing of the day. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests." Now this was Levitical law. It's recorded in Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest." So when Jesus says to these 10 lepers, go to the priests, he knows they are already cleansed before they arrive. And, Luke writes, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." I can understand why he didn't whisper it to friends. Cured of this incurable disease, an outcast, he's now made whole. So he says with a loud voice, he glorifies God and falls down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. I wonder why Luke included that particular detail. And he, of all people who thanked Jesus, was a Samaritan. And Jesus again answers a where question. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger? And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. So Jesus asked what questions? He also said where questions and why questions. He also asks questions that started with how. In the upper room on the night that Jesus was betrayed, speaking to his disciples, Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." I think these verses are so important right now for what everybody's experiencing. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know." Thomas, I love Thomas. Talk about authentic, transparent, whatever word you want to use. Thomas saith them, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" And here comes that how question. "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" How can you do that? "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." John 14, 1 through 11. And then there are the when questions. For the sake of time, I'll just read one. Luke 18, 8. "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Son of Man. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man some 30 times in the book of Matthew, 14 times in the book of Mark, more than 25 times in the book of Luke and several times in the book of John. Now go think back when you were in school and you took a subject called grammar, and there were rules for punctuation, capitalization. Remember the rules for capitalization? Begin the first word of a sentence with a capital letter. Begin the first word of a quotation, dialogue, with a capital letter. Now, we know in Hebrew there are no lowercase letters, all uppercase. But when the Hebrew text is translated into English, we find that in the Old Testament, there's only one time where Son of Man is capitalized, and it's not the beginning of a sentence, and it's not the beginning of a quotation. It's in the book of Daniel, and it says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Compare that to what Jesus said on the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And Daniel also writes, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. We read in 1 Peter 4:11 that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then the next chapter, also verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I think that amen is there for a purpose. It's basically saying, so be it. Again, Daniel says, his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. In the book of Jude, we read, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So, we see Jesus talking to multitudes, his disciples, asking questions of a young man, a rich young ruler, asking questions to a woman caught in adultery, asking questions to Thomas and Philip in the upper room. Jesus also asked questions of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In Luke chapter 6, the beginning verses say, and it came to pass on the second Sabbath, after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto him, why do you ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, realizing these are supposed to be the learned men in the word, have you not read so much as this? What David did when himself was hungered and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone? And then Jesus said, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And then one time Jesus is encountering one Pharisee at night named Nicodemus, who's described in John 3 as a ruler of the Jews. And it says, he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answers, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit his spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus asked him a question. Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, as we move towards the conclusion of the message today, we read in Matthew chapter 4 that when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, his hometown, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is about 20 miles to the northeast. Now, to get a picture of that, think of the state of New Hampshire. First of all, Lake Winnipesaukee is about 90% the size of the Sea of Galilee, so they're very similar in area and somewhat in shape. And if you went 20 miles from Laconia, northeast, to Moultonboro, it's about the same distance as going from Nazareth, northeast, to Capernaum. And so it says, he went to the seacoast of Galilee, to the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time forward, Jesus begins to say and preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So Jesus, feeling rejection from his own people in Nazareth, basically sets up his headquarters for his ministry in Capernaum, the home of Andrew and Peter, the home of the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And it says in Mark, and Jesus and his disciples went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. The word astonished in the Greek is ekplaso, strike with amazement, a real jaw-dropper. For he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. Oh, we heard that already from Matthew. Now it's also written in Mark. And again he entered in Capernaum, writes Mark, after some days, and was noised that he was in the house, and straightway, or immediately, and you find the word immediately over and over in Mark, more than any other gospel, and there were many gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. A lot of people around the house. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, a paralyzed man, and which was borne by four men. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, that's not the media, that's the press of the people, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their heart. Didn't say anything, just thinking it. Why doth this man Jesus thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? Now, the important question that we're going to focus on in the last few minutes is, who is Jesus? To these Pharisees, he was just a man who did not have the authority to forgive sins. Because they said, no man, only God, can forgive sins. And Mark writes, and immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why? Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went from before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. Different Greek word here, exestimai. They were thrown into wonderment, is the definition. And they glorified, doxazo, you know, we saw the doxology, the praise. They magnified, they praised God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion, or in today's vernacular, we never saw anything like this before. Jesus asked his disciples many questions. Other than the resurrection, there's only one miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, Luke chapter 9, 10 through 17, John 6, 4 to 14, and in Mark 6, 34 to 38. And I'll read from that section. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. And now the time is far past. Send them away, and they may go into the country round about and into the villages, and they buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And Jesus answers and said to them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, question, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the bread loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And Matthew adds, beside women and children. Mark records another miracle, very similar, in chapter 8. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Now keep in mind, this is after the feeding of the 5,000. And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. Do the math. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded them to set, and they were filled. They did eat. They took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they were had eaten were about 4,000. And Matthew adds, besides women and children. And again, do the math. Fewer people, more fish, more loaves, but the same Savior, the same miracle worker. It's not about the numbers of fish. It's not about the numbers of loaves. It's not about the numbers of people. It's who Jesus is. But still, have the disciples really learned from that first miracle of feeding more people with fewer resources and still didn't think it could be done again? And he sent them away and took the ship and came to the coast. And now we finally get to today's reading from Matthew 16. And there are 5 sections of this, which I will do very quickly. The first is called the rebuke to the Pharisees. The Pharisees also, where the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he should show them a sign from heaven. You see, they thought any miracle that involved earthly things might be counterfeit. But if he could show them a miracle from heaven, remember Nicodemus says, we know you're from heaven, because no man can do what you do. If they could see a miracle from heaven, maybe they would believe. And he answered and said to them, When it's evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, for the day, for the sky is red and lowering. You know that old saying, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. It's true, meteorologically, it's true. And so Jesus, there are seven questions here. The first one is, he says to the Pharisees, oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. So that was the rebuke to the Pharisees. Now there's the reminder to the disciples. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to him, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we've taken no bread? Which then Jesus perceived and said unto them, question number two, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have not brought no bread? Do you not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Question number four. Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? Question number five. How is it you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So we see the rebuke to the Pharisees, we see the reminder of the disciples, and now they retreat to Caesarea Philippi, kind of a remote place, 105 miles north of Jerusalem. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, his question number six, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, he said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Now, back in Mark, it says, King Herod heard of Jesus, and his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. And when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He's risen from the dead. So apparently, Herod was one of the many who probably thought Jesus was John the Baptist come from the dead. And the disciples said, some say you're Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Well, different people had different opinions of Jesus. In John chapter 6, he's talking about being the bread of life. And near the end of that teaching, he says, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews murmured about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he saith, I came down from heaven? Or from his hometown of Nazareth? Mark records, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many heard him, were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man say these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and not his sisters here with us? And they were offended him. So it was all around, different reports. Who was Jesus? A man, the son of Joseph, a carpenter, a good teacher, a good master. They all missed the mark. So we see the rebuke to the Pharisees. We see the reminder to the disciples. We see the retreat to Caesarea Philippi. And now the revelation to Simon Peter. And so when he says unto them, but who say ye that I am? The most important question any of us will ever be asked and answered. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples, they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And notice, once they knew who he was, then he could begin to teach and describe and explain his mission. And from that time forth, Jesus show his disciples how he must go up to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. So the question comes down now to us. What think we of Christ? In Matthew chapter 22, it says, While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, The son of David. John Newton, probably the most famous hymn he ever wrote, was Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. He wrote many, many other hymns. I'm just going to share with you two verses from one called What Think Ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you speak rightly, think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath are your lot. If asked what of Jesus I think, although my best thoughts are but poor, I say he's my meat and my drink, my life and my strength and my store, my shepherd, my husband, my friend, my savior from sin and from thrall, my hope from beginning to end, my portion, my Lord, and my all. So as we close this morning, ask yourself, who is Jesus? You can search the scriptures. They speak of him. You can go through every book of the Bible and find Jesus. I have a whole long list, which I'm not going to read to you, of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. Whether he is, it says in Genesis 49, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Or in Numbers 14, 24, that says, He'll be a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. We can see him in the Psalms. We can see him in Deuteronomy, when Moses says, There will be another prophet like unto me, unto him you should hearken. Job, who says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Isaiah, that calls him Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the branch that groweth from the roots. Jeremiah calls him the righteous branch. Haggai calls him the desire of the nations. We could go on and on. Jesus declared that he was the bread of life, that he was the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. He was the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the true vine. The question is, what say you of Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share with those who will be watching and listening today that in their hearts they will examine what they think of Jesus Christ. And to know him personally as Lord and Savior is the greatest blessing one could have. And with that knowledge, to have the courage to have the love of others to present it that way to them, to ask those who may not know of Jesus to ask that question that he asked of his disciples, Who do you say that I am? And it is his powerful name that we pray. Amen.